Without the slide, I'm going to have to give you visualizations. So I'm Italian, so I'm going to be using my hands a lot. We had a slide. It was kind of a half moon shape. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's all the verses in Scripture and how they connect with one another and where they connect. The lighter ones come like from Genesis to Revelation and where they connect all through the book. And the shorter ones, the shorter half moons are where they connect shorter. And it's just a beautiful map of God's Word. And I wish you could see it, but you can go on the internet and look for that. And in that map, we know there's 66 books. We know there's 40 authors. We know it's written over 1,500 years. Three continents. Three different languages. This is our God, and He has put it together in a tapestry in a wonderful, wonderful way, proving again who He is. And can I get an amen for that? Amen. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of Scripture. And God has shown Himself. He's shown Himself in His creation. We're here, everything around us, in His Word, as we see, through His Spirit-led prophecies, which we're going to go through today, and through His Son showing Himself and fulfilling these prophecies. Before we go into it, I'm going to read John 5:39. And Jesus is talking to the scribes, the Pharisees, in this passage. And He says, "You study the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life." He says, "These are the very Scriptures that testify of me." So he's putting it right into their realm. And today we're going to study Scriptures that testify to Him and who He is. Now, there was a math professor many years ago who was a Christian man, really enjoyed prophecy, and he put together 600 students across the country, I believe, to come up with the odds of prophecy where, what are the odds that Jesus fulfilled 8 prophecies from the Old Testament? What are the odds of 16 prophecies? What are the odds of 48 prophecies? Well, this is what they've come up with, and it's truly amazing. And this is one of the things that if you haven't seen it, I certainly want to enlighten you about it. So at 48 prophecies, and Jesus fulfilled more than 100 already, so we're just going to talk 48. I can't get into the actual odds, but I can tell you that it's 10 to the 157th power. Which that's a one with 157 zeros behind it. We know a million's got 6, so you can try and figure it out from there. There's many equations to what it is, but it is a lot. 16, there's 45. 45 zeros, 145, the odds. Well, we're going to just talk about 8. What are the odds that Jesus fulfilled just 8? And that's 1 to 18 zeros. And I want to give an illustration of what that looks like. You take the map and imagine the state of Texas, which is 288,400 square miles. And in each inch of that state, you put a silver coin, the size of a silver dollar, and you put them next to each other, and it will encompass the whole state of Texas. And then, depending on how high you are, it says, knee-high stack one coin upon another. Everybody imagine that? Phenomenal. That's just 8. Now, on each of these coins, I want you to imagine also an inscription. And there is one coin that is inscribed differently. So that Like the odds are one in trillions and trillions and trillions. And there's one coin that's different. But under this one coin that encompasses all but one, the inscription reads, John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Saying it over and over and over again, proving himself who he is. But there's one coin that says something different. And at the end of the reading, I will tell you what that description is. And also, I've come up with a number even greater than all of these 10 to the 157th power or anything greater than that. And I will also let you know what that number is later. So today we're going to be reading approximately 15 prophecies from the Old Testament and the fulfillment in the New. And these prophecies will come from Exodus, Zechariah, Isaiah, and Psalms. Now, I'm not going to give much commentary as Scripture is going to speak for itself. The Old Testament is going to do the prophecy. The New Testament will be the fulfillment. What the prophets saw, the future, and what the apostles saw, the fulfillment. And that's where we are today. So the first would be the betrayal of the Messiah by his own friend. Psalms 41:9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I have trusted, who I ate bread with, has lifted up his heel against me. Mark penned 14:10. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. The price paid for the betrayal. Zechariah 11:12. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for his wages 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah. Matthew wrote, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. It's amazing, the prophecy fulfilled by our Lord in one day. This is just one day I'm reading. What are the odds of that? The torture of the Messiah, Isaiah 56. I give back my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. And I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. This is what our Lord endured. He knew he was going to have to go through this for us. Bless his holy name, I say. Matthew, then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified, then spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. Thank you, Lord. Zechariah 13:7. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Matthew wrote in 26:31. This is what he saw. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered. All the scripture had to be fulfilled, and the Lord is fulfilling it before our very eyes today, obviously in the past. The divisions of his garment. They divided my garments among me, Psalm 22:11. And for my clothing, they cast lots. John 19:24. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Psalm foresaw it. Jesus actually witnessed them casting lots for his garments. This is our God. The Messiah would not open his mouth at trial. Isaiah 57:3. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He did that to fulfill this scripture. Matthew 27:13-14. And Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. He didn't know he had God standing before him, but he marveled at who and what he did not say. The Messiah thirsts. Psalm 69:3. Imagine, this is the Lord. "I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." If we knew somebody that was crying and they were thirsty and his eyes are, and he seems to have, you know, he's waiting for someone to come to his rescue, we would be there, but no one could be there for our Lord because he had to go through this. And he went through this agony to bring us to himself. So that's why we praise his holy name. In John 19:28, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.'" He knew every tittle of scripture had to be fulfilled because he wouldn't be who he said he was if he did it. And our Lord knew all the scripture had to be fulfilled. The bitter drink, Psalm 69:21. "They also gave me gall for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." We read in John 19:29, "Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled it with a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth." People staring at Jesus on the cross. Psalm 22:17. "I count all my bones. They look up and stare at me." Matthew 27, short passage. Sitting down, they kept watch over him. Small scripture, but had to be fulfilled. Messiah's broken heart. Psalm 22:14. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me." This is our Lord. Prophesied, this is what our Lord's going to experience. And he did. "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." Blood and water here represent a broken heart. The agony, what our Lord faced for us. Amen? Amen. The scorning and hatred of the crowd. Psalm 22:7-8. "All those who see me ridicule me. They shout out the lip. They shake their head saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him recuse himself. Let him deliver him since he delights in him.'" They're mocking him. Matthew, likewise, 27:43 says, "Likewise, the chief priests also." Imagine them standing there mocking the Lord with the scribes and elders surrounding him. "Save yourself. He cannot save. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. How many times do we hear people, oh, if God only did this, I would believe in him. Oh, if he only did this. It was going on back then. Oh, if he only came down from the cross, we would believe in him. The lonely cry of the Messiah in an intense time of his suffering. Psalm 22:1. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? More agony our Lord's going through. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? For us, that's why. For us. Thank you, Lord. The disfigurement caused by the brutality of the soldiers. Isaiah 52:14. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than any sons of men. That's how much they scourged him. You couldn't recognize him. All this for us. John 19:5. Fulfillment. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to him, "Behold the man." Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." I say, "Behold our king." The Passover lamb without any broken bones. Exodus goes back all the way to Exodus. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. John 19:33-36. When it came time to Jesus and he saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs. For these things were done that Scripture would be fulfilled, that not one of his bones be broken. Finally, the Messiah would be buried in the tomb of a rich man. Isaiah 53:9 says, "And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich his death, because he had done no violence, nor there was any deceit in his mouth." This is our God. Matthew 27:57-60. Now when evening came, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself has also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewed out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. These are the 15 scriptures that we've gone through, and how can any man fulfill all of these? Well, there was one, the Holy Son of God. Now, I said earlier I'm going to explain to you a massive amount of coins with the inscription, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And there's one that says different. And if you find that one, it's inscribed Acts 12:4. "There is no other name under heaven where man can be saved." There is no one coin that says differently. God is amazing. And that one number I told you earlier, that would be larger than all the odds that you can accumulate in this world. And it only has two zeros and a one in front of it. 100%. God is 100%. There was never a coin out there that had something written different on it. If it was, Christ wouldn't be true. Every tittle, everything Christ had to fulfill and he did. Our God is 100%. He's 100% in all of his ways. He's 100% loving. He's 100% merciful. He's 100% kind. He's 100% trustworthy. And he's 100% our Savior. And that's why we're here. We're here to glorify the one who paid the price for us. He paid the price. He bought us. We belong to him. And let us just now close in prayer and thank him for coming for us, doing what he did. And just let us praise his holy name in our hearts. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we do so with awesome thanksgiving of who you are, what you've done. We want to keep you in our hearts. We want the Holy Spirit to guide us each day. We want to walk with the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, Father. We lift up this time to you. I ask a blessing on the people that have come today. And if there is, as it's mentioned many times, and cannot be said often enough, if there's anyone in our sanctuary this morning that doesn't know Jesus, take heart to these scriptures and what he said, what he did to prove who he was. And we just want to thank you in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yep.